This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ready? إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Verily all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil that resides within our souls, and from the evil that results from our actions. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none shall misguide them. And whomsoever He leads astray, then none shall guide them back to the straight path. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger. Allah says in the Qur'an, O you who believe, be God conscious, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be feared, and do not die except as Muslims. O mankind, be God conscious and fear our Lord, who has created you from one soul, and from it He has created its mate, and from both many men and many women. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through whom you ask of one another, and by the ties of your kinship. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over you. O you who believe, be God conscious, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will render your deeds righteous, and He will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great victory. Verily the best speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of affairs is that which is innovated, for all of that innovation is misguidance, and all misguidance leads to hell. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us of a remarkable story found in Al-Bukhari, where he talks about the lives of two prophets that came before him, Prophet Dawood and Prophet Sulaiman. And as you know, Prophet Sulaiman was the son of Prophet David. Solomon was a king prophet in his right, just like his father, Dawood, David, alayhi salam. So, Prophet Dawood was one time in his court, and two women came to him, and they had a huge dispute about the identity of this child and who it belongs to. So an incident had occurred where they were both out and a wolf had come and taken one of the children. And so now there was only one left. So both sides came to Prophet Dawood and they were both laying claim to this one child, and they're saying, this is our child, this is my child, it's not hers, it's mine. So after listening to the details and the stories, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam judged and passed his judgment that it should belong to the older woman and that this was her child. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Prophet Sulaiman also a great deal of wisdom, where it wasn't just simply relying on facts, but also relying on intuition and understanding how to solve this problem. So he called the two women back, And he said, is this your child? And both of them are saying, it's my child, not hers. So he said, bring a saw, bring a large saw, and we shall split it in half, and you can keep half, and you can keep the other half. Now, of course, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is not actually advocating for that, but he has a wisdom behind him asking and making this request. So when they heard this, the younger woman immediately said, no, 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 don't hurt this child. It belongs to her. And at that moment, Prophet Sulaiman decided that the child indeed belongs to this younger woman. So this story highlights how Prophet Sulaiman understood the human condition and human emotions. And he understood that the ultimate love that a mother could have for her own child is to never wish harm on her own child, even if it means that it would be raised by someone else. But she wouldn't want harm to come to her own child. And that's why she was eager to say it is hers, so that no harm comes to it. But more importantly, brothers and sisters, this teaches us the difference between knowledge in and of itself and wisdom. Because you could have facts with you, but you don't understand how to apply those facts, and that is where wisdom comes into the picture. And so this word, al-hikmah, in Arabic, the scholars have said it is وَضُعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ. It is to put everything in its due place. It is to put everything in its correct place. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, قال الحكمة هي فعل ما ينبغي على الوجه الذي ينبغي في الوقت الذي ينبغي. Three things. He said wisdom is to do what is necessary and to do it in the correct way and to do it at the correct time. And perhaps the majority of our youth, of our childhood, is learning from our parents of doing what is right and staying what is wrong, staying away from what is wrong. And perhaps the majority of our teens and youth is dedicated to learning how to do something. And the rest of adulthood is learning about when to do that. Brothers and sisters, wisdom is a characteristic that many people aspire to have. It is one of the characteristics that the Prophet ﷺ permitted people to witness in others and be envious of. And even though in the hadith he calls it jealousy, it doesn't actually mean jealousy, but it means to be, in Arabic, al-ghibta, to wish to have it for yourself without making the other person lose that quality, right? Because when you say jealousy, jealousy is to see a good in someone else and you don't want them to have it, but you want it to have it for yourself only. That's what jealousy is. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا حَسَدَ إِلَّا فِي اثْنَتَيْنِ. There is no hasad, there is no healthy competition or jealousy except in two things that is allowed. رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَسَلَّطَهُ عَلَى هَلَكَتِهِ فِي الْحَقِّ وَرَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ حِكْمَةً فَهُوَ يَقْضِي بِهَا وَيُعَلِّمُهَا. The Prophet ﷺ says, two scenarios where you can be envious and want that for yourself. One is a person whom Allah has given a lot of wealth, but that person spends that wealth in what is correct and spends it in what is righteous. And if you look at what we are living in today, people aspire for wealth not for that reason, but because they want to be rich and famous like them. Not because they want to spend it when it's supposed to be spent in the right way for the sake of Allah. But more importantly, what we want to focus on is this second characteristic. And he said, and the man who was given, the person who was given wisdom, and so he uses it and he decides and acts upon it and he teaches it and he gives it to others. So brothers and sisters, we look in the Quran and we find many, many verses that talk about wisdom. Sometimes the word wisdom refers to knowledge. Like Allah says in the Quran, "Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah." Call to the way of Allah with hikmah. And here, even though it is wisdom, it means specifically with knowledge. Because if you are, and a lot of times, you know, when people do da'wah, they don't focus on what is the most important, and that is La ilaha illallah. But they focus on some other tertiary matters. So you have to have knowledge when you give da'wah. Also in the Quran, Allah describes al-hikmah as a warning. Hikmatun baligha. It's a warning. And why is warning called hikmah? Because you don't give warnings at every interval. You only give warnings at very specific times, because if you're always warning and warning and threatening, it loses its value and meaning. And if you give too much warning, it also loses its value, because you don't warn for something that is so trivial. You will only warn for something that is very big and very serious. So that is exactly what wisdom is, to know how much to do it and when to do it. And of course, we also find in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes al-hikmah as a synonym to prophethood. But more importantly, the Quran describes the sunnah as al-hikmah. And why is as-sunnah, the life of the Prophet ﷺ, described as wisdom? Because the sunnah teaches you exactly how to implement Islam in the correct way, and when you should do it, and the exact details. A common myth among people is that wisdom is given only to those, they just get it naturally when people get old. And when they age, they just get wisdom. But the truth of the matter is, there are two types of wisdom. The first one is wisdom that is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something only given to a very small group of people in the world. The majority of people don't get this. They are not born with it. And then the second type of wisdom, which we'll talk about, is something that comes with experience and knowledge, etc. One of Umar ibn al-Khattab one time wrote to his governor, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and he told him, إِنَّ الْحِكْمَةِ لَيْسَتْ عَنْ كِبْرِ السِّنِّ وَلَكِنَّهُ عَطَاءُ اللَّهُ يُعْطِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Wisdom is not something that you get when you become old in age, but it is something that Allah gives you and He gives to whomever He wishes. فَإِيَّاكَ وَدَنَاءَةِ الْأُمُورِ وَمُرَّاقِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. So stay away from moral depravity and destructive behavior. Some of the people that we know that Allah has given special wisdom is that Khidr alayhi salam, as we know in Surah Kahf, he knew exactly what to do in all those three scenarios, whereas Musa was only looking from the surface level facts. And so that's why it was a learning lesson for Musa alayhi salam. We also know in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ made a special dua for Ibn Abbas, where he is known as Tarjuman al-Qur'an. He is like the true interpreter of the Qur'an. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa allimhu al-ta'wil, Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah. Oh Allah, give him understanding of the religion, and teach him the interpretation of the Qur'an. And another narration, he says, oh Allah, teach him al-hikmah, wisdom. And the nasal here, it refers to the Qur'an. But no one is, as you find in the Quran, is more synonymous to the word wisdom, obviously like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but like that of also Luqman. We have an entire surah in the Quran dedicated to Luqman, who was a righteous person, who was a slave from Ethiopia, from Abyssinia. And he actually, in some of the riwayat, lived during the time of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ. And we have indeed given Luqman wisdom. And from this wisdom, to be grateful to Allah. For whoever is grateful, is grateful for himself. Yani you only benefit yourself. And whoever denies Allah's favors, for Allah is free. He is not in need of anything but the most praiseworthy. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compare and contrast and put shukr, gratitude, next to the word hikmah? Because if you really think about it, all of the talents and the skills and the physical abilities that Allah has given you in this life, when you use it for what it is good, when you use it for what it is right, that is not only wisdom, but it is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those things that you have done. And foolishness would be to take those talents and spend it and use it on something that is evil or wrong or misguided. And before we close for the second khutbah, there's an interesting story of Luqman, where his sagacity and his wisdom shines forth. So his master one time asked him, he said, go to the market and find maybe a sheep or something and slaughter it and bring me the best cut. Bring me the best cut from this animal. So after some time, Luqman comes back and he brings to him two pieces, the heart and the tongue. So the master said, what is this? Why would you give me the heart and why would you give me the tongue? And he said, if these two things are good and righteous, then they're technically the best meat that you can find in this animal. Obviously, he was meaning it metaphorically. So sometime later, he goes and he says, now give me the two worst cuts of an animal. And Luqman came back with the same two pieces. And he said, I thought you just told me the other day that these are the best, and now you're going to tell me these are the worst? And he said, and if these two are the worst, then they are indeed the worst cuts, which is the heart and the tongue. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the sixth year of Al-Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to go do Umrah, lesser pilgrimage to Mecca, from Medina. So they put on the ihram and they were ready to go. And as they approached Mecca, the pagan Meccans refused to give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions entry. But the Meccans, despite the fact that they were pagans, they were sort of caught in this bind, in this jeopardy. First and foremost, the Quraysh are the custodians and the caretakers of the sacred house, the Kaaba. And it was of custom that no matter who their enemies were, if they wanted to come and do a pilgrimage, even if they were their enemies, they would let them pass unhindered to do the pilgrimage. So now they have this dilemma. If you don't let Muhammad and his people go do the Umrah, then it will come off as dishonor to the guests of the house of Allah. And if they allowed them to go, then it would make them look politically weak, that they allowed their enemies to come, their greatest foes to come and do the pilgrimage unscathed and unhindered. But they still decided that they will stop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, during this standoff, there was a rumor that the Prophet ﷺ's ambassador, Uthman, was killed. And so, the Prophet ﷺ, and as you know, in the rules of diplomacy, you do not kill ambassadors. To kill an ambassador is a declaration of war. So, they were ready to go and confront the Meccans with war, but then later on, Uthman came back unharmed. And so the Prophet ﷺ decided to write a treaty with the Meccans. And so during the writing of this treaty, a couple of, you could say, tokens of goodwill and gesture and things were given, extended to the Meccans to show good faith. So firstly, when they were writing the treaty, the Meccan side had sent Suhail to represent them. And so when the Prophet ﷺ ordered Ali ibn Abi Talib to write the terms of this treaty, they were going to write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And so Suhail said, who is this ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? We don't know. We don't know who it is. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered that they reword the wording. He wasn't going to fuss about it. Then they started writing, this treaty is between Muhammad Rasulullah and the other party. And Suhail said, no, if we knew you were the messenger of Allah, we would never have fought you. We refuse to agree to the terms that you are Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ, it was already written, the Prophet ﷺ said, no problem, write Muhammad the son of Abdullah. Not messenger of Allah, son of Abdullah. Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was writing it at that time, he says, I'm not going to erase it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, show me where it's written, where is it written, Rasulullah? And so he erased it with his hand, and he told Ali to write Muhammad the son of Abdullah. So the terms of the treaty were simple. The Muslims were not allowed to do Umrah that year. They would have to go back, and they would have to come back the following year, and they would only stay in Mecca for 3 days, and there were some other details, like whichever tribes among the Arabs want to be in an alliance with the Quraysh, they can do so, and those who want to be in an alliance with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they can do so. The point is, during the writing of this treaty, there was much outrage among some of the companions, specifically Umar ibn al-Khattab, about why would the Muslims settle for such a treaty that is, in their view, to their own detriment. They couldn't go to Umrah, they have to wait an entire another year, and they basically got everything that they wanted. The Meccans got what they wanted. But the Prophet ﷺ stood firm. You know why? Because obviously Allah is commanding him to do that, but it shows the incredible foresight and knowledge that the Prophet ﷺ had. And which its results later became witnessed in that year, because with the treaty the Prophet ﷺ could focus on da'wah, inviting the nations and the tribes to come to Islam, unhindered. And that treaty later on proved to be more beneficial to Muslims than it was to the Meccans. And this is, brothers and sisters, the second type of wisdom. And that is, this is something through experience. Not you're born with, something through experience, something through knowledge, knowing the bigger picture, and more specifically, staying away from what is haram, and knowing your priorities, knowing when to major in the major, and minoring in the minor. A lot of times people, you see that they have no wisdom because they major in the minor, and they minor in the major. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات لا يعلمها كثير من الناس. The halal is clear, the haram is clear, and in between it is the doubtful. Not a lot of people know it. They don't know about the details of it, except some. So whoever فَمَيْتَقَى الشُّبُهَاتِ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. And so whoever stays away from what is the doubtful, then they protect themselves and their honor and their deen. And that is why, brothers and sisters, a lot of times, the scholars of the past, when they were faced with new issues and new things happening in society, they don't know whether it is halal or haram, they would not give a ruling. They would not give a ruling, because when you give a ruling, a fatwa, it could literally impact how people apply Islam. And which leads us to the point of, how do you obtain wisdom? Through knowledge. If you want to be a wise person, you have to first have knowledge, but specifically knowledge of the deen, of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A group of companions are traveling, and they were camped out in an expedition. And during the night, one of the men, he was required to perform ghusl, the ritual cleansing, when he's in a state of impurity, janaba. So he had to do the ghusl. But because that morning was very, very cold, and as you know, the Prophet ﷺ has allowed that if you have zero source of water, or if it is extremely cold, where if you make the wudu, then you could, or if you took the shower, it could perhaps make you sick and cause you to have hypothermia and die, you can use dry wudu, which is to use the soil or the rock. It's a ritual wudu where you don't have to actually do it in the absence of water. Okay? But because this one leader of the group did not have proper knowledge, he said to him, no, you cannot do tayammum, even though it is very, very cold, and even though you have an injury in your head, and yes, it might infect it, but you have to do ghusl. So the man went and did ghusl, and he died. When they went back to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ was extremely upset. He said, you have killed your friend, you have murdered him. They thought that they were being true, but they didn't know the true ruling in these circumstances. Allah tells us in the Quran, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah gives wisdom to whomever He wills, and whomever He has been given this wisdom has been given a great amount of good, and none will remember except those of understanding. Second, if you want to obtain wisdom, learn to not speak so much. There are things that when you do not know of, refrain from making comments, refrain from giving your opinion. And so many times people think that because they are Muslim and they have experiential knowledge of doing their regular laity and layman action and practice of Islam, that therefore they can give commentary on the deen. People sit around and they talk about the fiqh and sharia and the rules of Islam without any knowledge. They don't say, Allahu alam, I don't know what this is. And that's why one of the scholars listened to this amazing quote. Qala Wahab ibn Munabbih. أجمعت الأطباء على رأس على أن رأس الطب الحماية. All doctors agree with one thing, and that is the best medicine is preventative medicine. It's not when you get sick and then you go to the doctor. It's preventative medicine to keep yourself healthy so you don't have to go to the doctor. وأجمعت الناس على أن رأس الحكمة الصمت. The wise people and the people in general, they all agree that the best aspect of wisdom is silence. Being silent, brothers and sisters, does not mean that when you know what is the truth, you stay away from saying what is the truth, and when you know what is false, you stay away from saying what is false to be afraid of offending. But it simply means some things they're not worth your time to talk about. There's a funny story of one of the Khulafa, Harun Rashid. He was having a small debate with his wife Zubaydah about which dessert tasted better. So they were debating between whether lozinaj or faludaj is better. These are two types of desserts. So Harun al-Rashid calls one of the greatest scholars of the Hanafi madhab, Abu Yusuf, into his court, who was just passing by, and he said, come, Abu Yusuf, decide for us which is better, faludaj or lozinaj. Pointless. So you know what he said? Very smart. He said, لا أحكم على الغائب. I do not pass judgment on something that is absent. So the Khalifa said, okay, bring the dessert. So someone came and brought the two desserts in front of him. He said, go eat it. So he ate both of the desserts, and after he was full, clearly Abu Yusuf does not want to get into this debate between Harun al-Rashid and his wife. He doesn't want to offend anyone. Very wise. So what did he say? قَدْ يَصْطَلَحُ الْخَصْمَانِ. The two sides have settled. Yani they're in court, the two sides have already settled. And it could mean both ways. He ate it and he doesn't find either of them better than the other. They have reconciled in his stomach. Or he's saying that you and your wife have already reconciled. Harun al-Rashid, when he heard this, he immediately laughed and he recognized how wise Abu Yusuf was, so he gave him 1,000 dinars. But his wife also wanted to give Abu Yusuf, some monetary value to show her appreciation for how smart Abu Yusuf was. So she also realized that she cannot give 1,000. Because if she gives 1,000, then she's basically continuing the feud with her husband. He gives 1,000, she gives 1,000. So she said, I will give him 999 instead. So that her husband doesn't feel like he's being upstaged. And at the same time, it's an amount that is enough and not some little spare change that she's giving to Abu Yusuf. Brothers and sisters, finally, having wisdom sometimes requires us to focus on what is good and ignore the bad. And it's something that a lot of humans, we have this weakness in all of us. We focus on what is the negative, and then we forget about the bigger picture of the good. And the Prophet ﷺ gives us a beautiful hadith to close off. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ﷺ مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَجْلِسْ يَسْمَعُ الْحِكْمَةِ ثُمَّ لَا يُحَدِّثْ عَنْ صَاحِبِهِ إِلَّا بِشَرٍ مَا يَسْمَعُ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ أَتَى رَاعِيًا فَقَالَ يَا رَاعِي أَجْزِرْنِي شَاتًا مِنْ غَنَمِكَ قَالَ اذْهَبْ فَخُذْ بِأُذُنِي خَيْرِهَا فَأَخَذَ بِأُذُنِي كَلْبِ الْغَنَمِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the example of the person who listens to wisdom but only notices the bad parts and not the overwhelming good that is in it. And you'll find there are people, they heard an entire thing and all they can remember is the thing that they don't like about. But 99% of it was good. The Prophet said that person is like what? The person that goes to the shepherd and he says to him, give me from your sheep one that is good for basically a meal for slaughter. And then the shepherd looks at him and says, go grab the ear of which one you choose. Find the best one that you choose. And the man comes back holding the ear, not of the sheep, but of the sheepdog. To show you that he doesn't see anything but the sheepdog. He didn't see all the other good that is there, focusing only on the negative. And with this, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us knowledge so that we know where to apply it in the correct way and at the correct time. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا وَسَلِّمُوا عَلَيْهِ تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, give us the best that is in this world and the best that is in the next life and protect us from the fire. وقنا السلام. First line. Well, I don't know. That